views, claims, or representations may not reflect those of AM 1220 The Word or Salem Communications.
Hi, and welcome to Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now, toll free at 888-677-9673. That's toll free, 888-677-9673. Join the conversation live with Pastor Al. And now, here is your host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good afternoon. Welcome to another edition of Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until 2 o'clock right here on AM 1220, The Word. I hope you'll join us here if you've got a question about the Bible or a question about current events in light of God's Word. You can give us a call. We've got the telephone lines open, 888-677-9673. That's a toll-free number, 888-677-9673. We'd love to hear from you this afternoon. Let's go ahead and open with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we want to thank you again for the opportunity to be on the air today. We just ask that you would bless the program, help us to point people to Christ through the things that we talk about and lift up and glorify the Savior through the program. And we just thank you for the opportunity. Bless now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, welcome to the program. It's kind of a cool, drizzly sort of Friday afternoon here in Northeast Ohio. And I went and called them rain showers. They were just drizzles on the way up. It seemed like I'd get the wipers going a few times and then I'd run out of it and then turn the wipers off. And a few minutes later, have to turn it on again. But this is mid-September. And we are coming into the fall season and a time of change and everything. A lot of changes going on in the world. And in a time of change, it's nice to know there's something that doesn't change. And that's God. God said that he changes not. And that's a nice thing. I was with a friend of mine at the Wayne County Fair just this past week. And we were talking with people about the Lord and trying to get people thinking about where they're going to spend eternity, and have that little thing, I've mentioned it on the radio before, where the doors that we have that says see three things God cannot do. And of course, one of those things that God cannot do, of course, is in Malachi chapter 3, verse 6, where he says, I am the Lord, I change not. And that's great, because when you realize that God changes not, we understand that everything that God does, he's consistent, and he can always be relied upon. And the same God that changes not, the Bible also says that he cannot lie. And because we know that God cannot lie, Titus chapter 1, verse 2, the Bible says, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. You know, that's encouraging, because, you know, I like to tell people when they're looking at the thing and they like to say, well, God can do everything. There's nothing that God can't do. And we even had a lady some years ago at the Cuyahoga County Fair. She saw that. She was an older lady. She had a cane, and she got angry with us. She looked at that board, and she said, my God can do everything. There's nothing my God cannot do, and trying to get her to guess, and she was getting angry. She came towards us, and she started picking up her cane. Looked like she was going to take her cane to us. She was ready to defend God, and she was adamant, there's nothing my God cannot do. My God can do everything. And we got her to wait long enough, at least not hit us long enough, that we can open the first door. And when we opened the first door, and she saw that verse, Titus 1, 2, in the hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began, and we said, God cannot lie. She stopped. She kind of put her cane back down, and she looked at that, she smiled, she began to kind of laugh, and she said, oh, that's right, you're right, I didn't think of that. And from that point on, she loved us. She was excited, and she wanted to see what the next one was, of course, and of course, the next one being that God cannot change. And, you know, and I show people that. I always point out to them, God cannot lie. And, you know, that's good to know, because the Bible says that we lie, and we understand that God does not lie. He is not the author of lies. You know, we've talked about Calvinism versus Arminianism here on the program, and if you've listened to this program here on Friday afternoons from 1:30 till 2, or if you've listened to our Sunday night program from 11 o'clock until midnight every Sunday night right here on this same station, AM 1220 The Word, no doubt you've heard us talk about Calvinism and Arminianism. I mentioned Calvinism there, Catholicism. I was listening to the program before us with Pastor Lutz, and we were talking. Their subject was Catholicism today. But as you look at this here, the Bible tells us that we lie, and there's a problem. And I asked people, I'll guarantee what's behind this first door. Everybody that you see on the fairgrounds, everybody that you run into around here can do what's behind this first door. And sometimes people start to think, and they'll still be thinking, no, God can do anything. And I said, no, I'll guarantee chapter and verse from the Bible, what's behind this first door, God cannot do. Every one of us can do, and I'm glad God can't do it. And so finally, when we open the door, of course, God cannot lie in the hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began in Titus 1:2. And people get to thinking, and they admit, yep, that's right. I can lie and God can't. And the nice thing with that is people begin to understand that they're not perfect, that they've broken God's laws, that they have become guilty, not only in the eyes of God, but now all of a sudden, they're admitting publicly that, you know what, I'm not perfect. And then I like to follow up oftentimes with Revelation chapter 21. In Revelation chapter 21 and verse number 8, the Bible says this, "But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and all and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." Now, they've just admitted that they can lie, and they've just admitted that they're a liar. And you know, if they don't want to admit that they're a liar, even though they only lied once or twice, you know, I'll ask somebody sometimes, well, how many people do you have to kill to become a murderer? Well, just one. How many things do you have to steal to become a thief? Well, just one. So how many lies do you have to tell to become a liar? Just one. And that's the problem. We've all lied. And the Bible that's given to us by inspiration of God, the God that cannot lie, gave us a Bible that's true from Genesis to Revelation. And he says here in Revelation that all liars have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone. That's not heaven. That is certainly not heaven. That's eternal damnation in the lake of fire. Hell for all eternity. And that's the destination for all liars, which means that if we realize we lie and God cannot lie, this must be true. That's where we're headed. And then, of course, we go to that second door on the thing, three things God cannot do. He cannot lie. Second thing, remember I said Malachi 3:6, where he says, "For I am the Lord, I change not." And that's the truth as well. God cannot lie. He's not going to start lying because he is the Lord. He is God. He cannot change. His fundamental nature will not change. Now you say, well, but Pastor Al, I know God changes his mind sometimes in what he's going to do. Well, he changes what he does sometimes in relation to what we do. And that's leading up to my point here, because God, who cannot lie, cannot change his nature, which means he's not going to start lying. It means that he's not going to change his fundamental nature. And his fundamental nature, he is holy, he is righteous, he is truth, he is absolutely trustworthy in all things. And as a consequence, then we who lie, we're going to wind up in the lake of fire for all eternity unless we can be changed. And then that's where the third door comes in. And in the third door, The idea that God cannot let somebody into heaven unless we've been born again. And here in John chapter 3, the Gospel of John chapter 3, and this is the verse we use here, verse 3, it says, Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. That's talking about heaven. And the reason we cannot see the kingdom of God is the God who cannot lie said that liars have their part in the lake of fire, the lake which burns with fire and brimstone. That's hell. And so that's where we're headed. And that's just one sin. Remember that passage that I read in Revelation chapter 21 said that, chapter 21 verse 8 said that the fearful, the unbelieving, the abominable, murderers, whoremongers, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars. And this is just some of them. These are types of sin. All sinners, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And so all sinners have their place in the lake of fire. You know, they're talking about, Brother Piazza was given his testimony about how he got saved and came out of Catholicism in the previous program. And, you know, this is an interesting thing. The current Pope, and we talked about this once before, said on Vatican Radio, and it's published Vatican Online, I think it is, or Vatican.com or whatever, Catholicism Online, I guess it is, their website, and he said that atheists will get to heaven by their good works. And yet here the Bible says in Revelation 21 verse 8, unbelieving aren't going to get to heaven, and that includes atheists. Good works aren't going to get you there. And so we need to be changed. God who cannot lie cannot let liars into heaven. God who cannot change has to change us. That's why we need a new birth. And that's what Jesus was saying to Nicodemus in John chapter 3 when he said, you must be born again. Everybody listening to me right now has had one birth at least. You've been born physically. You have a physical birth. If you've not trusted Christ as your Savior, you're spiritually dead. You need a spiritual birth. And that's what he's talking about. You need to be born again, made spiritually alive. Adam died spiritually the instant that he disobeyed God and ate the forbidden fruit. The Bible, remember, he said God told Adam he would die if he ate that. And I used to wonder about that. Well, Adam ate that, and then the Bible says he lived hundreds of years after that. I thought he was going to die. Well, he did. He died spiritually. And because we've inherited Adam's sin nature, we are spiritually dead unless we've had a spiritual birth. That's the new birth. That's being born again. We become a new creature in Christ. Our sins are forgiven. God creates within us a new spirit that's alive and without sin. Now, we still have the flesh, and Paul in Romans chapter 7 talked about how we still sin and because of the flesh and the influence of the flesh, and that's why he begged, you know, said, who would deliver me from this body of death? Because his flesh caused him to do things that he knew he shouldn't do and kept him from doing things that he should do, but he knew that he was saved. He knew that he had a new spirit. He knew that his sins were forgiven and that when he trusted Christ as his Savior, according to Romans chapter 3, Paul said God's righteousness was put on us. And so God sees his righteousness in us. God, who cannot lie, said that liars cannot get into heaven, and God, who cannot change, can't alter that, so he has to change us. And when he changes us, we've been born again, and we have a home in heaven for all eternity. Well, you're listening to Live with Pastor Al. You can give us a call, 888-677-9673, and we have Nancy calling in here this afternoon. Nancy, welcome to the program.
Oh, thank you, Pastor Al, for taking my call. Now, this is unrelated to my question.
Mm-hmm.
Looking forward to September 21st. You said that you're going to have Eric Hallett there at 2 p.m.
Oh, yeah. Glad you mentioned that. Anniversary service, and he will be, mm-hmm. Of course, our church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express in Richfield, Ohio, 5171 Rexville Road, right there where the Ohio Turnpike, Interstate 80 and Interstate 77 cross. We will have our anniversary Sunday, and at 2 o'clock there at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, we're going to have a gospel music concert with Eric Howitt, yes.
Oh, well, too. I been there the last 2 years, and it is wonderful. And, you know, Eric Cowart reminds me so much of Mark Rogers.
I was just talking to somebody about Mark Rogers at the Wayne County Fair last week.
Yeah.
That had just had him.
Yeah, just anybody that goes there will receive such a blessing to go. I mean, you don't have to miss your church because this is 2 o'clock.
Yeah, come in the afternoon for that. It'll be over in plenty of time to get back to your own church.
Mm-hmm. I wanted to ask you about John 15:16. Now, I know you don't believe in Calvinism. I don't either.
Right.
Neither does my church. And, you know.
And I'm not an Arminianist either. And I know. Your pastor
people,
as well as
people think you have to be one or the other.
Yeah. There's a biblical position, which is the third position. And let me get turned over there. John 15.
John 15:16. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. I could see where Calvinists would use this to say, see? He has chosen us, you know, so anyhow, you could expound on that.
Absolutely. And Calvinism really takes its name from John Calvin, who as a young man, you got to remember, he started writing his life's work. Where he outlines his principles of Calvinism, what come to be known as Calvinism. When he was in his 20s, he was a Roman Catholic, and he trained as a lawyer. And you got to remember that he probably wasn't even saved when he started writing some of this. He was probably still searching. And as a young man, quite possibly not saved, he began trying to figure out things in the Bible that the Bible says are spiritually discerned, and the natural man can't understand them without the Spirit of God helping interpret them. And here in John chapter 15, and let's see here, where's the verse at here again? Verse number
16.
Yeah, 16. I'm just looking on the wrong page here. Here we go, the next page over, where he says, you've not chosen me, but I've chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, that your fruit should remain. Whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. And if you just look at this verse right now, and of course all verses have to be interpreted in the context of the Word of God, but you notice what he says here? He's talking to believers here, and he says that we're, and let's not look at the chosen part first, okay?
Okay.
He says we're chosen. But then he says this, he says that we're ordained. He says he ordained us that ye should go forth and or go and bring forth fruit, that your fruit and that your fruit should remain. And he's talking about one of the things that God and ordaining, you know, that's we've been commissioned basically by God to go and produce fruit. Now, let's hold our finger in John there for a moment and turn over to Ephesians, and here in Ephesians chapter 2, and notice what he says here, and I'm going to start reading in verse number 8 down through verse number 10. He says, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So we're saved by God's grace through faith. We have to believe. Now let me pause for just a moment. Calvinists teach that because you're dead to Christ, you can't get saved until God redeems you. He has to make you alive, and then after you're basically, after you've been saved, then you believe. They put the cart before the horse, and that's not what the Bible teaches, but they twist some scriptures around because they've been trying to make sense of it from a human perspective. But he says, for by grace are ye saved through faith. That's God poured out his grace on us when we believed. And and he says it's a gift of God. And he says, not of works, lest any man should boast. So that does away with...
That's one of my favorite verses.
Yeah, so that does away with Roman Catholicism and their works salvation.
Yes.
But then it says this in verse 10, for we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before, notice there's that word again, ordained that we should walk in them. So God has ordained, God has predetermined, if you will, that all who are saved would do good works, not to get saved, but because we are saved. Now let's go back to John chapter 15 here. And he said, let's go to the first part of that. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. Now, I had this conversation with a number of people I've had it on the radio, had it at our Friday night Bible study, had it at our church services on Sunday. I had it with some people at the fairgrounds just this past week. Oh, the King James Bible is just too hard to understand because of those yees and thees.
Oh, that's ridiculous.
And I said, here, I'll make it simple. If it starts with the letter Y, ye, you, and your, it's a plural personal pronoun. If it starts with the letter T or with TH, it's a singular personal pronoun, thee, thou, and thine. And I didn't get a chance with the one person, but I said this to other people. If I had $1 million to give to you, that sounds good. But what if you're in a group of a million people? Everybody gets a dollar. Is that what I'm saying? Or am I talking to half of the people where everybody gets $2? Or am I talking to you in particular and you get the $1 million? But if you're standing in a group of a million people and I say, I have $1 million for thee, you know you get the $1 million. That makes it pretty understandable right away.
Yeah.
So notice it says ye. That's a plural personal pronoun. Ye, collectively, the people he's talking to have not chosen me, but I have chosen you collectively. That's a group of people that you should go and bring forth fruit. And of course, individually, we should bring forth fruit as well. And that's obvious. You know, we're his workmanship, creating Christ Jesus unto good works. But God is not willing that any should perish, but that what? All should come to repentance. And so what we're seeing here, God has chosen all to be saved. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse number 9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is longsuffering to us. We're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Now, the Calvinist says that means only the elect that are chosen. Well, then that verse makes no sense, because if the Calvinist is correct, then they will come to repentance, and none of them are going to perish. No, God wants all to be saved. But he gives us the choice of trusting Christ as our Savior. He's chosen every single person to be saved, but it's ultimately up to them whether or not they'll trust Christ as their Savior. I know we're running out of time here, but let me give you an example. I served in the United States Air Force. I was honorably discharged. I can go to the VA, and I can sign up, and I can get medical care at the VA. I've not done that. Does that mean it's not available? No. Does that mean that it's not available to all honorably discharged veterans? No. It just means I've not chosen to go. I've been chosen by the United States government to be the recipient of health care through the VA system. I've simply not availed myself of it. That doesn't make the offer any less valid. And see, everyone is chosen to trust Christ as their Savior, just as everyone that trusts Christ as their Savior is chosen to do good works. Let me ask you this, and people that are listening, we've all been around in churches, hopefully churches full of born-again believers, but does every born-again believer go to a church? A lot of born-again believers don't go to church. Does every born-again believer, even those that go to church, do good works? A lot of Christians don't do good works. So does that invalidate the fact that we're all chosen to do good works as well? God has only set aside certain believers to do good works? No, we're all supposed to do good works. Just because some don't do themselves and do good works, some don't avail themselves of the opportunity to do good works that God gives them, doesn't take away from the fact that all should do good works. Likewise, the fact that some do not choose to put their faith in Christ as their Savior does not take away from the fact that all have been chosen to trust Christ as their Savior. Hey, Nancy, we're about out of time here.
Thank you.
I appreciate that call. That's a good call, because that reflects the biblical position. We put our faith in Christ. And as I said before, it's not just Calvinism or Arminianism. That's a straight line sort of thing. Think of it as a triangle. with the biblical position at the top. And as you descend from that biblical position, either towards Arminianism or Calvinism, you're descending in error. You're moving away from the true biblical position. I wish I had more time to go into that. Maybe we'll get into it another time, but we're out of time. And God bless. I hope to see you at our Bible study or at church. God bless. Have a great weekend.
You've just listened to Live with Pastor Al. Pastor Al Davis is the pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. You can contact Pastor Al by calling 330-659-6561 or by writing Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. Pastor Al invites you to visit him at the Bible Baptist Church Sunday morning at 11 or Sunday night at 6. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, located at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield. Or you can join us for our Friday night Bible study tonight at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express from 7 to 9. You can learn more about Pastor Al and the Bible Baptist Church online at live.maplenoel.us. Join us for more live conversation with Pastor Al this Sunday night at 11 p.m. and again next Friday afternoon at 1:30 on AM 1220 The Word. The preceding program has been sponsored by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield.
The preceding program's views, claims, or representations may not reflect those of AM 1220 The Word